Welcome to the Skinwalker Debrief. I'm your host, TJ Allard, and I'm one of the executive producers of the new TV series on history called The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. I'm joined each week by Jason McCullen and Maureen Ellsbury, and together we'll dissect each episode to give you more insight and background into the show. So this week's episode, we're going to jump right into it. This week's episode is the finale for season one called Revelations. So guys, thoughts. What are your initial thoughts?
We finally made it to the end, right? I mean, we've made it through now 8 episodes, reached the season finale, and I don't know. I was really excited leading into this episode, and, you know, now that it's here, it's come and gone, I'm kind of sad. But, you know, overall, I thought the episode delivered on what it promised, and it sort of wrapped up the season nicely.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's one of those things where there's a lot of things that they talked about that I still have questions. And one of them, and I'll address because this was right away. And I know we have, first, let me say that Thomas did address this last week and says, you know, he watched the whole video and it's not a fly. But that UFO to me, and he said, because we could see it go beyond the tree line, what us, the viewers, are shown in the final episode is not that object going behind the trees. Yep. So we only see those two frames. So for me, as doing my due diligence, even though somebody who I have grown to trust what they're saying has not seen that, in my head, I still think that still could be a fly. So right. I think that, you know, we know that we're going to, as Thomas talked a little bit about last week, and we've seen on Brandon talk about on social media, we're going to see this portal from them that not an anomaly.
Not like a portal.
Not like a vortex portal, but
we're not going to see that.
A web destination.
Yes,
a
web destination where, you know, people are going to be able to hopefully see and analyze on their own the raw data from these types of things. I think that's great because, like I said, as a viewer taking out, having talked to anyone on the ranch, that's immediately what I thought is, well, I'm not seeing it go behind the tree line. I could still see it being close to the camera. Until I see that full footage, I don't know if it's something.
Come out. I mean, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure it'll get out there. But yeah, it definitely didn't do the show any favors by not showing the full clips of stuff. I think it would have helped people feel a lot better about it.
Oh, sorry about that motorcycle.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
And as we pointed out, I mean, a lot of time passed since, you know, the things happened to now, and we know that Eric specifically and the rest of the team have had much more time to go through and analyze some of this stuff. So some of that due diligence and the work that's been done and the information they're working off of now when we have them as guests on this show, it's stuff that we haven't seen. So to your point, yes, the TV show, you know, from what we have seen as viewers, I'm with you 100%. I mean, I'm still in the bug or bird camp from what it appears on TV.
I think Eric will start putting more stuff out there. It's just a matter of time. I think there's a lot of hoops to go through here and things to jump over and hurdles and all that kind of stuff. And speaking of Eric, so just so people know, we had initially had plans to have a guest tonight. It was supposed to be Brandon, and it turns out everyone is at the ranch right now working. So that's kind of, you know, there's some stuff happening.
That's a sorry excuse to miss this show.
Right? It's a sorry excuse to miss this
working
show.
Working at the ranch. Come on.
Being there. Yes, there's a lot going on right now. And I know Brandon's already announced it and talked about season 2 happening. And so pre-production, everything like that is getting started now. So hopefully, you know, these guys will get going next couple of weeks, and then getting ready to bring you season 2, in the fall. So I want to put that out there at the top here in the front. So people are not like, why are you guys talking about who was supposed to be there? You know, so there it is. Like there's going to be people here. And then I try to get others, but everyone's like, oh, I can't, man. There's too much stuff going on right now. So,
You know, settle for just us.
Just us.
But you know, I think there's enough we can talk about that happened in this episode in terms of the history that we know about the ranch, because I think, forgive me if I'm wrong, TJ, but one of the the big revelations that was what this episode was supposed to cover is the government interest in the ranch. And you know, we've known for a long time that there was this $22 million program, and we've talked about ATIP that we've talked about on the program before that Bigelow was involved with that actually had involvement with the ranch. So it was very curious to see the Utah Attorney General on. Jason, what were your thoughts with that?
Well, you know, when that whole government interest part was brought up, you know, it was, and we'd heard that before, I think from Thomas maybe, but yeah, the fact that Travis says he was contacted by people from the intelligence agencies, you know, that...
But
that,
it's funny, hold on, he says, we were contacted.
We.
He never says he was contacted, he says, we were contacted.
Yeah.
So, just
and,
saying.
And, you know... I thought that whole exchange and the topic as a whole was strange, and certainly strange that they were making so much of that, because, as you just mentioned, Maureen, we know that the government has had an active interest in that ranch. They've mentioned it many times on the show, the government's interest in that ranch and active investigation on that ranch. Right. So... I don't know. It seemed weird to me to bring that up now, and it would seem weird if the government is still interested in that ranch when they've already done their own studies and whatever they wanted to do on that ranch. So
I think what he points out,
questions.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely brings up more questions. I think what he was pointing out too was that the idea of comparing notes, I think that is a big one, but also the thing that I from what we showed, from what the viewers saw, it was more of how are they still monitoring us? That's the bigger question. Like, who the hell's monitoring and how? That's why Brandon looked so like, wait, they're monitoring us? Like, who and how? With what equipment? When? Like, what are there, ninjas in the in darkness? Like, what's going on? How are they watching us? So I think that's where the real, that real question comes out, because you know, being out there, we had talked about it a number of times. I mean, and Jim even brings it up, you know, where helicopters would just appear out of nowhere, or Humvees would just appear out of nowhere. Like, who the hell are these people, and what division of the military, or, you know, who are they a part of? So there's the part of it that, yes, we know about the $22 million aspect of it, but then there's this, what's going on now and why? And, like, is it like three guys, you know, just doing this, or is it like, you know, an actual branch of something or a division of something?
Well, I can't help but think, you know, I mean, this ties into the fact that the government is known for actively tracking and following UFO researchers. I mean, that's been going on for decades, and there's documented proof of this. And, you know, they actively watch people. And, you know, that a lot of that is trying to keep tabs on people to figure out, have they figured out some sort of secret classified project we were working on, or what the results to that were, or these secret aircraft, do they mistake them for UFOs? I mean, there's lots of cases that involve specifically those types of things and connections. So for me, I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if they were being monitored by the government and being watched for what the hell's going on out there. I mean, that's just kind of hand in hand from what we've learned over the years happens when you get involved in this type of research.
I mean, it was validation too for Brandon. I mean, there was a lot, you know, of, he said that in the past that he thought it was happening. And I think that, officials that he had spoken to in the past were like, no, it's not, nothing's going on, nobody's watching you, there's nothing. And then here it is, here's your validation that yes, it's, you're being monitored. That's why you see the smile, he's like almost like, I knew it, I freaking knew it, you know. It was it's one of those, like, I still on a personal level, it's, I still don't, I don't understand the secrecy of a lot of this. As like a TV producer, I look at it and I'm like, you know, it's the worst kept secret in the world that there's government agencies studying UFOs. Well, the idea of like using the citizen scientists and using all of the available resources you have, it never was more of a, you could mobilize it now easier than you could ever have before. and deploy people to study things and just let people do all of the, like Eric was talking, like if you get 10,000, you know, people doing this stuff or looking into the footage and looking into data, then you're going to find correlations. You're going to find things that others are going to miss. It's like, instead of just throwing a computer at it, throw people at it, because that's going to be, you're going to get a different element, you know, different aspect of it. The algorithm's not going to pick up things, whereas people will. I don't know. I just think it's a big miss. It's a big miss, essentially. Like, we could be doing a lot more for it than, you know, in that research than we are. And everyone knows. It's like, come on. You're not hiding anything. So, I don't know. It's
going to be interesting. There are always agendas at play. You don't know what the agendas are.
Of course. Of course. No, I mean, there's all, yes, of course. I'm just saying, like, if you step back and look at it, it's like, well, everybody knows this is going on. And you can't keep calling people crazy now that there's evidence that's coming out. You know, it's that you have to discount the crazy argument now, especially when you have credentialed investigators, people with PhDs, people with top secret clearance, people, you know, you have the Sean Reyes, you have the attorney general from Utah there. Like, you have legitimate credentialed people that are all, I mean, not, this isn't the first time any of this has kind of happened. I mean, there's always been, you know, people with background, like with, you know, credible backgrounds that say these things. But I mean, now it's becoming, it's just almost like you can't deny these things anymore. I just want to know who the officials, and maybe you guys know, who are the officials that are going to come out? Like, what, who are the people that are going to talk about this? Who would address this? You know, it's not going to come from, like, you know, the White House. You know, it's not going to come from the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Like, who is it going to come from? At some point, who's going to address any of this? That's my, you know, I'd love to know that. Like, somebody's got to step up. Not a person, but which group, which branch? Space Force? Air Force? Who? You know? Yeah. Not going into crazy town.
Yeah. I mean, it's always going to change. It's always going to come from a different angle, a different organization, because, you know, a lot of these groups, these organizations, these sections of the government don't talk to each other. They're doing their own thing and not necessarily working together. So right now we see, you know, some activity from the Pentagon. We see some activity from the Navy. So it's kind of all over the place, and I think it'll always be that way until there's a joint effort. It really unifies and talks to each other and shares data. But you brought up the attorney general for Utah, and I got to give that guy kudos, because as Brandon has said before, you know, when he didn't initially want to be public, he didn't want to have his name out there associated with the ranch, because, you know, he is a businessman. He has major real estate deals. He didn't want being associated with this crazy ranch to affect any of his clients, to affect any of his deals. And he's out there now, and very proud with it, very publicly on TV. And then we have the attorney general for the state of Utah going on this crazy TV show. You know, that's a public figure doing that, public servant going on TV and, you know, a Skinwalker Ranch TV show.
Acknowledging that it
was not expected at all.
One of my favorite part, I think, was when he told Travis Taylor his finger was nasty.
After I got exposed to the radiation, I started getting a knot forming here, a bump coming out of my knuckle there. And then another bump started forming. And on into the summer, it kept getting bigger and bigger and started hurting.
Yeah, that's nasty, man.
So then I went and had it x-rayed, and my doctor looked at it, and he says, well, you've got two bone spurs in there. They said, well, you're going to have it removed, because it's going to keep getting bigger and worse. And so they went in, they took out a cyst that was almost as big as an M&M.
Yeah, right? That's nasty.
Yes,
that's right.
That's nasty.
Yeah.
And it is so nasty. Oh, man.
Yeah. That was interesting, because I had to Google... my trusty friend Google, whether ionizing radiation exposure could cause bone spurs.
What did Dr. Google say?
Well, I had to do a little deep research into some medical articles, which are super fun. But I mean, basically, and I'm no doctor, so if I say something wrong and you're watching, feel free to let me know. I will not be offended. I did this right before the show. Is that it can cause damage to the cartilage in your joints that could then possibly lead to bone issues. But I didn't see specifically bone spurs. And then I looked at the causes of bone spurs, and of course there's a million friction overuse and a ton of other things. But it is interesting that it was, I'm assuming, on the same finger that he got the burn on, that the burn showed up on, or was that on his hand?
No, I think it was the hand. Okay. I think that was the hand that he gripped the handle with, if mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken.
So it's interesting. I mean, we don't have a definite proof that those two are linked, but I think in some super roundabout way, it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, strange things.
This kind of medical dive sent me on a link to research how long it would take a cow to die from pneumonia, too.
What do you think of that? Like, so, and he brought up the scared to death. Like, he was like quite literally scared to death. Okay, yes, but he had pneumonia.
Yeah.
So pneumonia takes a little time unless you suffocate.
So I thought it would take more time than it actually does. They said usually when a cow gets bovine, gets pneumonia. I'm going to try to sound smart here.
Nice.
Death usually happens within the first 2 days. However, by the time we're seeing the cow, it's already on the ground. When the object passes over, it tries to look at the object. It's not like it instantly got pneumonia and died. And the herd was already separated from it. It's clear the cow had been sick already. So I don't think it's like the cow saw a strange object in the ground and dropped dead.
Right. Yeah, I think that wasn't presented in the best possible way. It was almost implied that is what happened, when in fact it wasn't. And they made it pretty clear that it wasn't. Mm-hmm. But I love the tainted meat theory. You know, the carcass is there. And I keep thinking of it as like a video game, like a tainted meat. Like, here it is, this carcass of something that no one wants to touch because it's been tainted. But from what? I have no idea. So I had never heard of that before. I don't know if either of you have. Like, things being struck by lightning or animals being tainted in a way, I guess I keep saying. I don't know if that's the right word, but.
I mean, personally, I don't want to eat diseased cow or sick cow, but I'm not a predator. So I don't know, Jason.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I never heard the lightning thing for sure, but as far as anything else, even disease or something, keeping away predators, I would think at least they would kind of tear at it and then realize, this is nasty.
Yeah, I would think so too, but you know, we're just humans. Our senses aren't as good, I suppose. You know, maybe they can smell the disease. Like, can't animals smell like certain diseases on you?
Yep.
Yeah, I always get real worried when a dog pays too close attention to me.
Yeah, why are you smelling that spot so much on my hand? Stop licking my hand.
Again? Yeah. No, but I know. I mean, so what's really cool here, and Brandon kind of said that, you know, this could be, well, and Travis said it as well. Like, if in fact what they believe happened based on their evidence did happen, it's this kind of a groundbreaking thing, and it's kind of flying under the radar, where the idea of quote unquote, air quotes, your communication with something is happening. And like Travis had said, maybe they don't even know that they were communicating, but by sending things up in the air, then maybe they were inadvertently doing so. And then Brandon, you know, again, talking that you have the AG there, the Utah's attorney general, and you have Brandon saying like, look, we may have just made first contact. Whether that is true or isn't true, to be able to say that in the presence of Utah's attorney general, national audience, you know, PhDs, people with security clearance, you know, top secret, like, that's kind of saying something. Like, obviously they're not just throwing it out there all willy-nilly. They obviously, there's something here. You know, I don't want to give away a whole bunch of stuff on the air. Not that there's much to give away, but I mean, it's like the mentality is like, this is legit. This is, you know, but you don't want to say, oh, look, we talked to aliens. And then people are like, oh, you're so crazy. You didn't talk to aliens. Okay, sure.
Well, and from the viewer's point of view, you know, knowing that you know a little more and knowing that, as we talked about earlier on this episode, that the team has done more investigation into this. Right. They've looked at additional footage and done additional things. They're working, and I have to assume, they're working with more information Because again, from what we've been presented, it's a pretty far leap to start thinking that, oh, there's something there that's worth trying to communicate with. Because from what we've seen, I'm still not convinced that there is anything there.
No surprise they showed that clip with that sidebar with Dr. Segula, you know, saying like, what can we use? What kind of stuff? Like, that was, again, that's kind of a far leap, you know, to try to put the dots together. But, you know, again, it has been a year since a lot of that stuff has happened. And I think that, you know, just understand, people should understand, like, if it's making it to air, they've had a lot of time to be able to edit that out if they wanted to. So obviously that there's, like you said, talking with Eric and Bryant and Tom, you know, there's a lot of, or in Jim too, like a lot of stuff has happened. There's been a lot of data analyzed. So they're confident enough that they're still going to say that, you know, and it's not just shock value or for TV or for ratings, like, cause then they would look stupid if there wasn't anything to back these things up with. So we have to just trust that they're not trying to make themselves look stupid. You know, it's the magic of TV.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, there was a lot of attention paid to the UFOs on this episode. And I get that. I really do. Because visual is very exciting. So, and as we've talked about on this show, as Dragon has talked about, I mean, when you have a UFO sighting for yourself, it's incredibly exciting. It's something visual we can look at and say, wow, there's something there. That's great. But when it comes to Skinwalker Ranch and the testing and everything, for me, I mean, yeah, something in the sky is cool, but there's so much more exciting things happening on the ranch in terms of, you know, the electromagnetism and the microwave radiation. I mean, this stuff is happening. They're measuring it. It's hurting people. They're having physical effects to it. You know, that's that, to me, that's so much more exciting. If that's the right word, yes, than the UFOs. I mean, I'm a UFO guy. I love UFOs, but again, just seeing something in the sky. Yeah, that's fun. And so I can see where they're going with that. Maybe more experiments. We can try to send messages and see what happens. But with everything else we saw this season, all of the EM activity happening is far more exciting to me personally.
Maureen, is that hold true for
you
too?
Yeah, I think I'd agree, because you have the situation where unknown craft are spotted all over the world, often maybe in a more condensed version above the ranch. And it's the idea of tying why, if there are unknown objects flying above the ranch, why are they attracted there? And why they would be attracted there is something based on the ground, like Jason's mentioning, or underground, or, you know, I don't know, there had to be something interesting going on there. So for me, I agree. I think it's like the study of the area and why things would be happening that are strange, not necessarily flying, you know, stopping by, like
right.
Flying overhead.
No, whenever I look for show ideas or think of ideas, my brain always works, if that, then what else? And so the stuff that we've been presented right now, it just, if I was just a viewer, the UFO, the first one, you know, the shiny one that we saw when they were launching rockets, the multiple ones, I would love to see where that image, if that appears, what other locations have people seen that, or has that been documented, that same type of reflective orb, right? I mean, there's tons of them, but I mean, if you can, right, but the part, if that, then what else, is if you can find that orb, and then hopefully we can get Eric to talk about this, or maybe other people listening know this, how were those readings of the electromagnetic field and the microwave all the way up to 5,000 feet, how were those charted? When Eric showed that really cool graphic, what tech was used to present that, almost like that wave, that waterfall of microwaves? So if you can then find the correlation where those objects appear, and you're getting that same kind of reading, so now you're having two data points that you're being able to put together. Can you find multiple locations on the planet that happens? Like, that's where my head goes immediately, like taking whatever data we can find and saying, okay, there's commonalities between these, try to match up as many commonalities as we can. and then see, like, okay, other people see these in Hong Kong. People see these orbs in New York City. Okay, great. So those locations, then find what the EM readings are there, or find out what the microwave readings are there. Does anything look the same? And then you can at least start with, okay, well, there's two data points. What's a third? Can we find another one that matches? I don't know. I just think that's you're going to see people. I'm hoping people are going to start doing these kinds of things to really push this forward.
It would be great if, but a lot of people don't have the resources and equipment to actually even test that kind of thing. If they see a silver orb in the sky, they have got, they may be in a huge city and see it go by and take one picture. And how are you supposed to get measures for that? It's like a dream wish that is probably not going to happen anytime soon.
The part of me though, that there's a lot of publicly available data if you know where to look for it. Like the LIDAR data from the ranch, like that stuff. I mean, there's some really detailed data. If you look, there's databases. I mean, open source databases of mapping, LIDAR mapping from all over the country. But there's also measurements of elements in all over the country. So I'm wondering if there are measurements of any of these other, of microwaves, of EM, of any kind of radiation. Like there must be somewhere there. An open source database of this stuff that people are contributing to. And I can't think of the technical terms of these things right now, the names of them. There's a couple that we used to use in researching stuff for the ranch, but like you just go on and you could do overlays in Google Maps. Like literally you can bring in these, they're called like KML files or something. You import them into Google Earth and then there's a layover. I mean, it's just the layers of data that it's just there. People just don't know what to look for. That's the hardest thing, I guess, to find or figure out. But I mean, if you can, this is just like, I always get annoyed with the ghost hunting shows, because it's like, okay, set up every freaking piece of equipment you can. Every time somebody says they see something, take every reading that's there, every one of them at all times. If you can reproduce all of those readings and then you see something or experience something, then you know, oh, when this happens, great. And then just keep digging, drilling down. At some point, tech is going to catch up with us to be able to answer these unknowns. It's just a matter of which tech. So, yeah.
And open source data gathering is fantastic, but it also has lots of problems. And those problems are what make what's happening on the ranch special. Because again, this is a laboratory. It's a working laboratory that tries to have a controlled environment and has a team there actively, conducting these experiments, and they've got, a good base that they're working with. They know what, usual readings they have there and what's abnormal and things like that. Whereas if somebody like me was just walking around and taking readings, I'd go, oh, wow, this area is high.
Right.
How would I know that? Because I'm not there for months on end, taking readings. So.
No, that's where Eric, he was saying about the sufficiently motivated high school student. But you have to know what it is that you need to be doing. You don't have to have any special abilities. You just have to know, okay, I need to set a baseline. Like, what are the steps, Eric? And I'm sure he's going to put that out there because he wants this kind of citizen scientist. He wants people to start looking for these things. Like, there's just so much info available that he can't possibly, as a human, as one person, go through it all. So, and I don't think he wants to write the code in Python to do it, because that would be tedious.
Well, I think this episode 8, did a good job of recapping what we saw for the first season. I'm left with a whole lot of unanswered questions, but, that's what happens in a season 1 of a show. And I think Eric, gave me some excitement there at the end with his little pulling U.S. Geographical Survey data and creating that freaky looking map with laser beams shooting all over the place. So I think with the things they mentioned, communicating with extraterrestrials on there too, I think they're setting up some really cool experiments for the next season. So I'll be excited to watch that.
Like launching a satellite into space.
Yes.
That's possibly. It's been, that's been talked about for a long time. I mean, I think that was, I don't think that's any kind of secret technology. I didn't even know until a few years ago. I didn't know that you could go, any human being, anybody can go and do that. You can order a satellite and have it shipped, you know, launch into space for
a reasonable fee. That them specifically doing that.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I mean, Travis would know exactly what to put on it as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of cool experiments, and there's going to be a lot of, I can tell you this, I know there's going to be a lot of money spent this year. You know, Brandon's in it for the long haul. He's in it for the long haul, man. The guy's not screwing around. So
nice.
But this is great. Hopefully we keep these going, and we'll try to get more of the guys back. I can see about, you know, maybe next week we can try to keep doing our weeklies, and if I can get an update from them, or, you know, I will. And if we can bring somebody back on, we can, you know, I will. But I know they're pretty busy right now, which is a good thing for everyone who's interested in it. So I'm just glad that everyone got a chance to see, like, okay, you know, the first eight, you know, it was great. It's awesome. The show rated really well. Another season coming. Hopefully it'll be another, you know, 10, 15 seasons, who knows? And who knows what they find, you know? And again, the rumor of, oh, if they found something meaningful, we would know it. No, you wouldn't. No, people stop thinking that. you would not know if something was found that, you know, it would be kept under wraps. Things have been kept under wraps for a very long time. so, you know, it's the magic of TV, man. You just got to keep remembering that. This is it's a business like any other business. So
the magic and the curse of TV.
And the curse of TV, yes. Yes, and the curse of TV. But there's just know that there's no bullshit happening. It's all being open. You know, Maureen, I mean, we talked about this before. Brandon went on, you know, podcast with some noted debunker guy. Like, and he put himself out there. And, you know, you got to understand, for Brandon to go and do that, the guy's clearly not trying to hide anything. He's not going to put himself in, you know, the lion's den and be like, oh, man, this guy's going to attack me and I'm going to look stupid. No. You know, he went out there and, you know.
I think he's been very vocal about this show would not have happened if, you know, the channel did not meet my demands, which was, you know, having my team and not faking anything, showing the real science and what's going on, and stuck by that. And Mick West's interview with him on, I think it was a last Friday. Yeah, so people can go check that out. And you can see also where you have this noted debunker who is the one who suggested, hey, look, I think I found the exact helicopter data and what the helicopter was doing that was seen in episode, I don't know, 6 or 7. And Brandon said, thank you very much for your research. This was really incredible. You know, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't something like, how dare you? That was definitely a government helicopter watching us. It was like, oh, cool. Like, this is what we need. We need people keeping their eyes open and doing that. So, yeah.
Awesome. And you guys, tell us, how did the panel go? How was All the Strange, the Skinwalker panel? I mean, for those who missed it, where can people go and still see this?
Soon?
Yeah.
I don't know when Jason's uploading it to the YouTube channel.
Uploading it either, but all the presentations will be uploaded to the Rogue Planet YouTube channel.
Okay. Great. And for those who don't know, there was a Skinwalker panel at All the Strange, the virtual panel that we did, hosted by Maureen, and obviously Jason is there as well. So you got to see a bunch of the guys from the ranch, and it was great. And so just, you know, if you want more ranch content, just keep a lookout on the Rogue Planet channel. Yep. And Jason will get it up soon. You're probably slammed with a whole bunch of these things that you got to get up there, huh?
I'm not in a rush.
Gotcha. Well, anyway, that's it again for another week of the Skinwalker Debrief. And thanks to everyone for tuning in and making the show a huge success. And on a side, I'm still looking for show ideas and talent. And so people feel free to reach out to me personally on Twitter, just at TJ Allard. Because I'm still trying to look for the next show. It doesn't always have to be in this genre. I do other programming. This is just one of the, this is just a really big one that I couldn't pass up an opportunity to kind of push through. But you guys, what else do you have coming up? Is there anything else we should plug that's coming up right now?
No. We just finished All the Strange, like you said. That was our big virtual expo that took a lot of time out of us. So we're kind of resting right now.
Sure.
We're still doing our biweekly UFO podcast called Unknown. You can find that everywhere podcasts are found. And like this show, everything we do is at rogueplanet.tv.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, both of you, for participating in this. And yeah, like I said, we'll try to do it next week again with someone, see what we can bring in. And let's kind of keep it a surprise. But if people have questions, still send them, keep hitting the pod, Skinwalker pod on Twitter with questions, or in the Facebook group or email. It'd be great. We'll still, we'll address them when we can. And that's all. Thanks again for everyone making this a huge success, and look forward to season 2.